I love the song that we just sang because it reminds me that I have a place, I have a belonging, and I love that. And it reminds me of my mom when I hear that song, because my mom always made sure I had a place of belonging. So it's just incredible that we sing these songs on special days, and I don't think they're designed to connect, but they connect with me, and I hope they're connecting with you. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the risen Savior at Easter Sunday. We celebrated that. And last week, we walked beside Jesus and Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Before Jesus was crucified and before the kiss of Judas, Jesus gave instructions to the disciples and through them to us. You see, before Jesus was carried off to the high priest, he spent time, a great deal of time with his disciples, teaching them, encouraging them, instructing them. One of those teachings is in John 15. And if you have your Bibles, turn there if you haven't already, because I see it on the screen. And if you don't, there's pew Bibles in front of you, or we're going to have it on the screen behind me and behind you. It's always nice to actually have a physical piece of paper in front of you, though, so you can follow along and jot notes if you want to, or highlight things if you're so inclined. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 15 of John, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Let's pray. Father, as we look through this passage, as we draw from it your truths, as we open your scripture and we come face to face with you, Lord, we pray that it would change us, that we would be shaped by it. Lord, we pray that each time we open this book daily, Lord, that it would change us from the inside out. And this morning, we pray, would be no different. Bless us and be glorified through our time in your word, in your scripture, in your revelation of yourself to us. Amen. So today is Mother's Day. And so everyone is expecting a Mother's Day sermon. I was told that knowing that I was preaching, I was expected to do a Mother's Day sermon. So I chose the best passage that relates to my mom, which is something regarding gardening. And that's where we're going to go. I thought this was a great passage to help us understand motherhood. More so than motherhood is the greatest gift that we can give our children, whether they are biological, spiritual children, or otherwise. The one gift that we can all give to our children and to our friends and family, each one of us, is a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ modeled to one another. Realistically, this morning's text is not just for mothers, but for fathers and children. In fact, everyone sitting here, including myself, because we're all called to model. We're all called to model in some fashion character and relationship. And character in relationship. So Jesus tells us how and what to model in our lives and what to look for in a model. Modeling of character and relationship. And in this passage in John 15, we begin at the very beginning. We begin at the very beginning in the first couple of words. Jesus says, I am. Now, oftentimes when we read scripture and we read through a passage, we tend to skip over the first few words, maybe even the first few sentences to kind of figure out what it's talking about. But these first two words are essential. I am. And so we see this in five other passages in John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now I am the true vine. I am the vine. The I am statements are a basic reflection of that Exodus account when Moses asks God his name. Remember when Moses sees this burning bush that will not be consumed, this fire of God emanating from this bush and this voice calling to him and talking to him. He tells him to take off his sandals because he is in the presence of God Almighty. He is on holy ground. And Moses converses with God. And God gives him instructions in leading his people out of Egypt and what Moses would do. And Moses asks him his name. And God says, I am who I am. The greatest statement, I am. When Jesus says, I am, six times in John, I am. He is saying, I am who I am. I am God. There's only one person who can say, I am. And that is Yahweh. It is God. It is the most sovereign statement one can make. It is the most self-sufficient statement one can make. I am. I am. I be. I am self-sufficient. God says, I am self-sufficient. I am sovereign over all things. I am. Not one of us can say that. Not one of us can say, I am. Because not one of us is fully self-sufficient. You need air to breathe. I need food to sustain me and coffee. God, the Almighty Creator of all things seen and unseen, needs absolutely nothing. He needs nothing from you and he needs nothing from me. We don't bring anything to the table. God is fully self-sufficient. And in that, he is perfectly sovereign over all things. There is always something that is greater than you and I. But there is nothing greater than God, because God needs nothing. You and I need something. You can be the richest man or woman in the world, and you still need water and food and air and internet. God needs nothing. He is sovereign over himself and all things, fully self-sufficient. And Jesus says in this passage that we are reading, the first two words, he says, I am. He says, I am self-sufficient. I am sovereign over all things. I am God. If you can imagine the disciples, they just broke bread with him. This man just washed their feet. And he makes this statement for the sixth time in your presence. He says, I am. I am the true vine. I am the vine. They knew what he was saying. They knew what he was saying. I am. With this statement, he introduces himself, his divinity, his godness, his direct and real attachment to the Father in heaven. He says, I am divine. I am the life-giving one. And what is different from all the other I am statements is here we see a continuing life-changing and continual relationship change with his people. You see, I am the bread. Bread. I am the light. I am a shepherd, the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he says, I am the vine. The vine, this thing. He says, I am in you and you are in me. We have this intimate connection. It's the first time we see this intimacy in being between his people and himself. Jesus isn't calling us to just a connection with a prophet or a priest. And he is not calling us to a connection with a religious practice. But he's telling his disciples and he's telling us that he's calling us to a real and vital relationship with him. An intimate relationship with the creator of the universe, a vine and its branches, life flowing from one to the other and back. Interconnected molecules coming together and branching from one to another. Vitally, intimately connected. When you go out into the backyard and you see a vine, they're connected. You yank the whole thing out or you plant the whole thing. They're entwined. They're entwined. What is also directly connected to this statement, I am the true vine. You see, Israel used to be the vine. Old Testament depicts Israel as the vine to the people and to the world. And Jesus says, no, I am the true vine. See, for you and for me, at least I'm assuming the majority of us in the room, we are not of the true bloodline of Abraham. We are not national Israel. Our connection to God is through Jesus Christ. Through him taking the role of the vine. Yes, Jesus is saying that in this incredible way, he is the manner in which life would come to the world, not Israel. Our connection is not through Judaism. It is not through religious practice. It is no longer through the law, but by Jesus himself. He takes the place of Israel. He says, I am the vine. I am the way to the gardener. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He ties in the other I am statements into this one core statement that he gives to his disciples. I am the true vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. There's more to this vine and branch motif. There is more than just a connection or superficial relationship. See, this is an intimate one that we are called to, an intimate relationship that we're called to. Jesus says that his life and person flows into us, that we are in him and he is in us. This is raw. I don't know, do you feel it? It's raw, it's real. It's a relationship at a level of intimacy that's not even possible from a human-to-human perspective. Most definitely not with your dog or your cat. This is a completely different relationship than we're used to. We're totally intertwined. See, we need, if we're going to be intimate with one another in relationship, we need to be close to one another in some form of proximity, or at least through an internet connection, where we can communicate with one another and be together. But you see, God says, I'm always with you. I will never leave you. And he is always there. In the darkness of the night, in those most darkest hours that you lay awake at night, or you pace in the backyard during the day wondering where everyone is, whether you're alone, there is God. Do you ever lie awake at night worrying in the darkness and there is someone there? And that's not your husband or your wife or your children or your dog. Well, maybe it's your dog snoring or your cat bothering you. But no, more likely it is God. Because God is ever present. See, he's there. Even last night as I fell asleep, I was praying. We're told that when we don't have words, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Last night was one of those for me as I'm struggling in my weariness. I couldn't put three words together, but I could feel the presence of God. Because God was there. In the darkness of the night, God was there. And that's the intimacy that I'm talking about. The intimacy that God has with us as people. He can intercede on our behalf. He knows the words that we're about to speak before we do. He knows our minds. He knows our thoughts. He knows our anxieties, our pains, our hurts. And he rests with us. And he has that intimate connection with us that you can't have with anyone else or with anything else. The cell phone that you carry in your pocket that is never away from your body will never take the place of God. That spouse that you love so much will never take the place of God. Jesus calls us to this vine branch relationship of intimacy that for me, I can't really fathom. Because I understand talking, I understand dialogue, I understand holding hands or a kiss on the cheek, I understand hugs. I even understand most body language. I definitely know when I'm in trouble at home. I don't need words. But sometimes I struggle to fathom what this intimate relationship is with God because I don't know how it, I don't understand sometimes how it actually works. And mostly because I am not I am. I am not God, and I don't understand everything. And that's perhaps some of the beauty of what it is to be in relationship with God. He has control. He has sovereignty. He is the self-sufficient one, and I need him. I am but a branch, and he is the vine, and he connects me to the soil, the rich soil. And I don't know how he gets it to me, but he does. It's raw. It's real. It's almost impossible for us to understand. And when we abide in him, when we follow this motif, it calls us to be, and this is important, it calls us to be, not to do. Do you see? It calls us to be, not to do. We are not called to do so that we are able to be or to accomplish, to succeed or to conquer in order to rest or to be known and accepted by Jesus. He calls us to be with him, to abide with him, to be loved by him. This is something in our Western world we don't understand well. We are called by God. We are told by Jesus to be. I am the vine and you are the branch. Remain in me and I in you. It doesn't say, I am the vine, you are the branch, grow fruit and I'll keep you around. It doesn't say, I am the vine and you are the branch, grow fruit that will sustain my winery and I might not burn you up. It says, I am the vine and you are the branch. Remain in me and I in you. Remember that intimate connection, that relationship. Jesus calls us to be. And we get it backwards. I can't tell you how many college students that I've worked with in the past 15 years that have said, I have done everything. I am doing all of the spiritual disciplines I can, and I'm not even sleeping. And I haven't eaten for 7 days. I've done it all, but I don't feel differently. I don't feel more connected to God. It's because you're doing all of these things, but you're not being. You're not remaining in him. He calls you to be with him. Sit still and just listen. Know that you bring nothing to the table. Remember, Jesus says, I am. God is, I am. You are a twig. You need him. You need him. You are not self-sufficient and neither am I. We do nothing because he does and has done everything. Remind you of mothers in the home every day of the week? Kids, they do everything. and we do nothing. God says, remain, Jesus says, remain in me, abide in me, be with me. Abide with him and be loved by him. Can you see that the fruit that Jesus is talking about comes after the abiding, after the remaining, after the being, after relationship with him? The fruit comes as a consequence, a positive consequence of being. It is the aftermath. It is the runoff. It is the overflow. The fruit comes because of the remaining. For a short time, you can grow fruit, perhaps superficial fruit, but it will die and rot away. Without the abiding and the remaining, you will not be able, we will not be able to grow real, beautiful fruit that is lasting. Without that connection, that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just showing up on a Sunday morning and singing songs or listening to a sermon that you may think goes on and on and on too long. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about that intimacy, that connection between vine and branch that is sometimes, almost every time, impossible to completely understand. And after that happens, after the being happens, is when the fruit comes. It's when the fruit comes. So this is all about modeling. And we get to the main drive of what that simple slide is all about. What are we modeling? You see, we need to understand what it is, who it is that is sovereign over our lives, who Jesus is, and we need to understand how that relationship works. And now let me tell you what the greatest gift that we can give our children is, what the greatest gift that we can give one another is: modeling that exact thing. Modeling what it means to be in true, real relationship with Jesus Christ. What it means to be a branch that is tied, entwined, and intimately woven into the vine, Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us two ways that we can model this in this passage. I promise I'll be done in about 45 minutes. Two ways that we can model this. Because sometimes we say it's hard to model that. How do we model relationship with Jesus? We can model a relationship with our husband or our wife. We can hold hands and we can smile at one another. And every so often we can give each other a peck on the cheek. We can model what great relationships are with kids by holding our children and smiling at one another. But relationship with Jesus, it's hard to hold Jesus' hand. We look odd. Jesus gives us two ways that we can model this really easily. Well, perhaps really well. The first one is obedience. He says, obey my commands. And the way that we do obedience is following what's in this book. Do your children, moms, dads, do they see you reading this? Grandmas, grandpas, do your grandkids see you reading this? Do they see it on your nightstand? Do they see it beside the couch. Which one do they see more often on or open? This or the television? Which is in your hand more often? Your iPhone or the Bible? I know it's challenging. I'm challenged by that myself. We need to know this before we can obey it. We need to know God before we can obey Him. And when we model obedience, our kids and those around us can see it. Because it transforms us and it changes us. Have you seen a person like that? I know there's some in this room. I watched them. For the last 2 years, I've watched them. And I've seen this thing change their lives and make them different people, selfless people, godly people. And I can see their obedience because I see them in this. And I can see them and I can watch them grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ because they're being obedient. I know the relationship because I know their I can see their obedience. What are you modeling? And yes, I know many friends that will hold on to a cell phone and say, my Bible's on my cell phone, and I'm not going to throw that out. I'm not going to say, no, you shouldn't do that. But I am going to tell you that you can do a whole lot of other things on that cell phone, but you can only do one thing with this. And so when your kids, your grandkids see you with this, they know what it is. When they see you with that cell phone, it could be Netflix. It could be that ball game that you cannot get over. I know, it's me too. Ball game gets me every time. But it could be this, but they don't know that. But if you open this up, they see obedience. When they see this open every day, it's obedience. When they don't see dust on it, they can see obedience. And the second ties into the first. You see, because our being and abiding draws us to obedience, and our being and our abiding draw us to love. Draws us to love. And Jesus says, love one another. You want to know how, we often ask, I hear this, how can I show God that I love Him? How can I show this vertical love from me to God? And the easiest way to explain how to do that is to turn the pendulum a little differently and say, how about loving horizontally? Instead of vertically, love horizontally. Love one another. Jesus says, if you want to love me, if you want to abide in me, you need to love one another. How do you model that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Love one another. If obedience is hard for you, then love is even harder. Because love requires us to be selfless. Love requires so much of us. Because love can't be selfish. Love can't be about us. It has to be about others. Jesus says, you want a model? You want this to work? Then love one another. So I say to us, love one another. Love one another. Have mercy and grace when dealing with one another. You know what you have to do if you love one another? You have to talk to one another. You know, it's very difficult in our time and day when texting is so much easier, or simply ignoring is easier than that. If we love one another, we talk to one another. We share life with one another. We're not in and out. We're not silent all week. We talk. We communicate. We send notes. That's one. That's one way. One easy way. Second way, we can do this incredible thing called prayer. We can pray for one another. Nothing shows love than prayer. See, if I pray for you, it means that you're on my heart and on my mind. Pray for one another. So talk to one another and pray for one another. And you know what's really hard about obeying sometimes is when you're doing it all by yourself. You know what's a lot easier? Doing it together. So how about opening this up with one another? I'm just giving you three easy ways to love one another today. Because I promise I won't keep you for another 45 minutes. Talk to one another. Pray for one another. And study with one another. Here's something that you can actually do on your cell phone. Text one another what you're reading. Join one another on a Bible reading plan. Connect with one another via, I don't know, a women's Bible study that happens most Fridays from fall, winter, and spring. Maybe show up on the 24th and hear all about that. Connect with one another on Thursday Bible studies with Aubrey. Another great way to share obedience in opening this book is to volunteer and join the team that serves our children in teaching them all about this. Here's a plug for you. Talk to one another, pray with one another, pray for one another, study together, learn together, grow together. We are community. We are fellowship. We are God's people. Be obedient and be loving. Because of this absolutely incredible, intimate relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And let me say one more thing. Honor one another by keeping short accounts with one another. Honor one another by keeping short accounts with one another. Be humble. We need to be humble people. If we're going to be loving people, we need to be humble people and acknowledge our wrongs and be willing to be called out on things. Repent and forgive. Forgive easily. We are called by Jesus to forgive. How many times does he tell Peter to forgive? 70 times. So he tells us to forgive all the time. Always forgive. Because Christ forgives you. This intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that is so difficult to explain and so beautiful to be a part of. He is the vine and we are the branches. Remain in me, he says. Love one another. Be obedient to the cross. In all of these things, model them to one another and to our children. Mothers do this so well. Thank you, moms. Pray we all do this so well that our children that run through here, pray they don't jump off the balcony, run through here. See men and women that are absolutely in love with a Savior, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for their sins and rose 3 days later. It sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven and intercedes for us day and night because of his grace-filled, unconditional love for you and for me, for absolutely nothing that we bring to the table, but everything that he is. That intimate relationship. Remember, he is the vine and we are the branches. Remain in him. Be in him. Let's pray. Father, you are a good God. You give us so much. We walk through a passage like we have this morning, and I am awestruck. We are blown away by the great gift of grace and mercy that you have given to us, the love that you have for us, this unconditional love that you present to us. Lord, may it impact us. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. Lord, we come in tatters before you. We come into this place as we are, but we pray we don't leave the same way, that you will change us, that you will give us a mind to change, a heart to change, that you will indwell us with your Holy Spirit. We would know you intimately, Lord, for we are the branches and you are the vine. Thank you, Lord. In your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.